what's it like to be a really good-looking chef and getting what some people would say a dream job, cooking on a fabulous yacht with beautiful people? What goes on with LA stars, television stars, all out to sea? What kind of romance? What kind of adventures? Adam Glick, a Bravo television star and a great chef, is going to be my guest on Let Me Tell You, my original podcast. So stay tuned and enjoy. Welcome to the Joan Hamburg podcast, Let Me Tell You. It's an original podcast, and I know you know how to get it, but if anyone asks you, the OG Podcast Network, it's there. And we are really having a good time. We're introducing you to all our friends. You're hearing their stories, and we're going to do more and more as we come around the fall. And speaking of the fall, I know, hard to believe, right? Because this has been a weird summer. Hot and rainy a lot on weekends. And, I go out to the East End of Long Island for weekends. I'm going to try to spend a couple of days there, because as we get closer to fall, it's my favorite time. It's so beautiful. But the weather, we've had crazy flooding. And my cousins on the Jersey Shore practically needed a boat to get out of their house. It's been so wild. But people have already started asking us, fall getaways, do you have any ideas of where we can go? Now, of course, I know a lot of you love to watch the leaves change, but there are so many places, train, car, easily accessible from our tri-state area. Nice weekend trips. And my advice is always, if you can get away, come on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, the rates will be better and you have a better chance of getting in. In Saratoga Springs, there's a wonderful hotel, an 1877 hotel called the Adelphi. And it's a modern take on the original Victorian decor. You can just take the thruway. It's not even 4 hours. Amtrak goes from Penn Station. Now, the racing season, which is what Saratoga is famous for, ends on Labor Day. But there's so much to do in this historic city. There's a wonderful museum. There's a mineral soak at the Roosevelt Baths. There's Skidmore College. Just great things to do. So check out that hotel. I'm a big fan of the Hudson Valley. I love it. And there's a place right around Ghent, New York, where you're going to, it's a little different. It's a retreat, and it stays open through November. It's actually on a field, part of a working organic farm, and they have beautiful tents that are outfitted with wood-burning stoves, blankets, private bathrooms, all in these tents. Meals made with local produce. If you want wine, you will bring your own. Little over 2 hours up the Taconic, and you can go apple picking on Love Apple Farms. A lot to do. So check out Ghent, G-H-E-N-T, New York. You can also go to the Berkshires, North Adams, a lot of cottages, a lot of family farms, a lot of art. You probably didn't even realize a lot of people. There's a contemporary art haven, Mass MoCA. In fact, Saul LeWitt's grand-scale drawings are there. and there are row houses. There's a lot to do. So check out that area. And one of our favorite places is Mohonk Mountain House in New Paltz. I've been there for weddings. I've been there for retreats. It's a Victorian castle resort in Ulster County. Wonderful views, wonderful activities. I'm telling you, they have a spa, pool, ice skating rink. It's for you. It's for the kids. I love it. And they have new accommodations called Grove Lodge. But I've stayed in some of the old rooms, some with fireplaces, and really loved it. And if you want to be closer, in Washington, Connecticut, the Mayflower Grace, which was a spa, a former all-boys boarding school, is quite wonderful and very easy to get there. And all the years that my kids went to Brown University, when we wanted to indulge, we'd go to Newport and stay at Castle Hill Inn. It's gorgeous. And you can take a train, you can take your car. It's got its own beach, wonderful dining room, and Newport is really fun. So that's just a couple of thoughts of getaways that are in your own backyard and good ideas of things to do. A little closer, if you want to peek at the leaves, than rural Vermont. Now, I had a farm in Vermont for many years in an area fairly close to Brattleboro, about 45 minutes out, right near Newfane. And there are the Newfane Inn is still strong, Four Columns, wonderful places to stay in that area if you do want to step a little bit out of your own. It's 4 or 5 hours, but still gorgeous. Enjoy. Anyway, we've got a lot of our podcast, Let Me Tell You, coming up. So stay tuned and look ahead to the holiday weekend. Enjoy, and let's hope we all have a very successful end of summer. Here's to the fall. I'm Joan Hamburg. Well, you missed just a few seconds ago. One of our morning anchors came in because he heard that Adam Glick, who is a chef, an adventure chef, a Bravo star, also very big in the world of apples, that Adam Glick was coming in. And this guy said, my favorite show, Below Deck. I love this show. And unfortunately, he couldn't wait for Adam. So I'm just curious. You've got a lot going on in your life. You're on a fabulous yacht, cooking away, so you don't get upstairs that often.
I don't. I do not see the light of day.
But I couldn't believe the kitchen on that yacht.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a kitchen.
Some are better than others. I'd say a boat between 100, really new builds, they've taken into more consideration for the chef and the galley. The older builds are very much country kitchens.
Right,
so,
real kitchen.
Yeah, you got to be kind of weary when you're getting onto an older boat. You know, maybe the fridges aren't working as well. The stoves aren't induction. You know, they might be electric, which is just an absolute nightmare for a chef.
Well, and just Below Deck has a boat, a fabulous boat, a crew, which is really the heart of the series. And guess, now you have how many? 9 members of a crew?
That's right. We have about 9 members of our crew, and there's an additional 2 to 3 that help engineer the boat, so to speak, if it needs to be an oil changed or a sea strainer cleaned, and they're there to do that. So in total, there's about 12 of us, excluding the guests. So you want to add another 8 guests, so you're getting close to 20 people on the boat.
And how do you get the guests? Because it's a television show.
The guests apply, I believe.
I'm sure
some are reached out to through reference, but there's definitely there's a way for anyone to apply to pay to be on the show.
And they pay.
Sure.
The guests.
They're charter guests. They don't necessarily pay the full amount for
exactly.
a 200-foot boat, but they do pay.
And the destinations change, right?
That's right. So I'm on the below deck Mediterranean. So typically I'm going to stay within the Mediterranean. If I were on below deck, they just moved it. You know, there's two series.
Right.
They just moved it to the South Pacific. So they're.
Oh.
I'm a little jealous, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I would be jealous, too.
That is my turf.
Can't you do that, though? Won't they put you over there?
No, it's not up to me.
Come on, put the guy over. He's
Thank you, very popular. Joan, let him know.
What Adam means is he grew up as an Army brat, so he did not have the traditional California, New York, Midwest upbringing. He lived all over the world.
It's very it's a very different way to be brought up. You know, it's it definitely it puts your mindset somewhere that most people's minds will likely never be. So, you know, it's one thing to fly. I always say it's one thing to fly off to Cabo and spend a week there spring break and call that world travel. But that's really not world travel. You have to immerse yourself for years on end to truly understand other cultures. And that's been my whole life.
But were you the only kid? There were others, right?
I have an older sister.
Uh-huh.
And she's happily married with two beautiful boys, one on the way.
On land?
Yep, in Central California.
So where did cooking come from? Your mom cooked or?
You know, my mom cooked, but my grandma was an excellent cook. Her husband, my grandpa, was an excellent cook. So, and very country, southern food.
Right.
Biscuits, gravies, that
Yum.
Kind of thing. Yeah, totally. And that's the kind of food I grew up on. Also, Louisiana, sort of Cajun foods, gumbos, jambalayas.
So you had a lot of background
for cooking. Yeah, never formally trained as a kid. But not until I went to culinary school did I really figure out cooking.
And so once you started figuring it out, how did you lean to a yacht or cooking on the water, which is a whole different discipline?
Absolutely. And, you know, what happened was I was peeling a 50-pound bag of onions in a hotel in San Diego. And not particularly enjoying my career at the time.
Well, you were starting.
Fresh out of culinary school, making very little wages, peeling a 50-pound bag of onions.
People don't realize how hard that
was. Yeah, working like a dog.
Hard.
Yep, and, you know, that was when I got an email. And I'll never forget, mid-onion peel, I got this email, and I felt it buzz in my pocket, and I pulled it out, and I looked at it right away, and it said, "Hey, Adam, this is your counselor from school, from my culinary school. We have an opportunity that we thought of you. Would you like to go work on a boat?"
You're kidding.
No. And what it was a new yacht owner reached out to my culinary school and said, "Hey, I want a chef." And, you know, obviously they were looking for someone really inexpensive and really fresh.
That's the way to start.
Yeah. Because
someone who didn't know what you
that's
make.
That's right. Exactly. And I was 21 and said, hell yeah.
Adventure lured.
Said, let's go, you know. And I quit my job that day without even interviewing and got the job on a boat, flew off
Where'd
to Alaska.
Where'd they go?
First job was in Alaska, starting in...
And that's a gorgeous journey.
It's a great way to start yachting.
Yeah.
And if...
Good
if
salmon.
It, yep. If anyone in yachting hasn't yet done an Alaskan tour, they're really missing out.
But this was on a private...
This is a private vessel, which is a great way to start.
Yeah.
Really. You know, it was really a perfect introduction. Very simple captain, simple crew, small boat.
The people were decent.
The owner was happy with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, you lucked out.
I lucked out. So it was a great introduction. That said, I moved on to another boat, you know, a couple years later and got my butt kicked because I had no clue what real yachting was all about.
And what was this?
Right. And it's like, man, what's going on? This is intense. This is nothing like my old boat. Well, you know, that's because it was my first boat and it wasn't exactly an accurate representation of what my career would be. So... You know, 10 years later, 90...
And how long were you with that one, the second one?
Probably 2 months.
You couldn't take it.
Couldn't hang. And really questioned my ability to cook on yachts. Like, is this something I'm really capable of? Am I ready for this? And these questions went through my head every day. And I found as long as I stuck with it and continued to get my butt kicked, I got better and better year after year. And before you know it, the complaints got less and less and the compliments got more. And more.
And you were cooking.
And I was really doing some cooking. So
how did the television series, again a life-changing moment, what happened there? Who found you?
You know, they had reached out to me a few years running, and as the show was progressing.
Bravo, how did they even know you?
It's a very small community. I was on LinkedIn as a yacht chef. And, you know, there's only 30 of us, you know, on LinkedIn.
You made a real, that's interesting.
At the time, you know. Uh-huh. And so the thing was, at the time, it was kind of funny because I had been in yachting for, at that time, probably 7 years already. You know, long enough to understand the business. And we saw this show. I mean, we were sitting in the crew mess, like normal crew, yacht crew, and watching TV after a long day's work, and sure enough, a yacht show pops up on the TV called Below Deck.
Right, and that was different.
You know, and we're all sitting there going, you're kidding me. They made a TV show about us? Like, this is a joke. And, you know, like, oh, no, I would never do that in a million years. And, you know, year after year, the show became more popular. Ben was on the forefront of that as the chef, and they eventually reached out at really good timing because I had just finished a dual tandem Russian charter in Alaska.
Oh, how fascinating.
Yeah, where the other chef, so two boats, one family, the other chef was fired on the first day.
He was new to that?
She was not new, but she was fired that day, and I had to fill her shoes for the remainder of the charter, so...
On that charter originally? Yeah. Okay, so you got that as a normal job.
Yep, I was one of two chefs on a very, very expensive charter, $1.2 million week.
To go? Why was it so
expensive? How do you make $1.2 million omelet? I don't really know.
You're a new Russian.
Yeah, a lot of caviar, a lot of vodka. And anyway, they fired that chef. I had to carry the charter for two boats,
And you did great.
For two. I pulled it off, got paid for two boats. And
nice.
Yep, that was a big thing. And that was when they called me. And couldn't have been better timing because I couldn't have been more miserable in my career at that time. Despite the fact that I'd made so much money that week, I hated my job.
Well, two ships, two boats?
Yeah, and I said to myself, you know what? There is absolutely no way Bravo can put me through this kind of hell. It can't possibly be worse than this.
So had you applied or they reached out?
No, they reached out. And they couldn't have reached out at a better time because I was at my wit's end with my career as a yacht chef.
And how did you like when you started with Bravo? Were you happy?
It was a very rough start. And no, I wasn't happy.
Why was it rough?
I just didn't perform well. I was under the gun. It was nerve-wracking, all the cameras, the situation with Malia, understanding how a show works and how to do this. It's a lot to take in.
It's a new language.
It's a lot to take in all at once, and it didn't portray me very well. So then,
but they stuck by you.
They stuck by me. I think they saw that there was some potential, and that you know, maybe I was just a little distracted, and maybe I can pull this off. And I knew I could, and I'm not one to walk away with my tail between my legs, and it was my opportunity when they said, hey, do you want to come back for a second season?
You said yes.
I said, hell yeah, I want to come back with my head held high and kick some ass.
And was it what you thought, even the second season? I mean, obviously, everyone's under the television gun, so it changes things.
Absolutely. The second season, I think I just came back more relaxed. I understood the process. I understood who I was going to be working with, and it really helped me just kind of drop the guard, so to speak, and really be myself. And in television, you have to be yourself.
Right, and you did it.
Yeah.
I mean, Adam Glick, very popular, Bravo star now, Below Deck, a franchise that has taken off like crazy. And in the middle of all this, Adam is selling apples. So where did the apple story come in?
Right. Well, first of all, it is Adam's apple.
Of course.
Kind of made sense. No, I formerly wrote recipes for a major corporation in my mid-20s, and one of their employees reached out to me.
Luck.
Yeah, they said, you know, hey, man, we've been watching you grow and your career grow. Would you be interested in doing a road trip with these apples, Jazz apples? And I said, you know what? Get paid to go on a road trip? Are you kidding me? That sounds amazing.
And on land.
Yeah, so and on land. And so it was really just like, it was a dream come true.
Where'd they send you?
We've been driving all across country. We started in Seattle, went to Portland.
All the good places.
Denver, Chicago, Cincinnati, New York City, headed off to Philadelphia.
And so, doing TV and radio
coming
with
in
Apples.
On shows like your own and doing news appearances with, let's say a grilled apple recipe for the summer.
Right, you had a pork tenderloin.
Yep, absolutely. So we've got some really cool events that we put together just to show people that a jazz apple is better than a Honeycrisp.
And, but you know, it's interesting.
You're all buying Honeycrisp, and you got to stop. They're watery.
Well, I love apples, and I cook with apples. I was trying to show Lexi, we're trying to teach her to cook, that baked apples are so easy.
Yeah, a baked apple is delicious.
I just stuff them with dried fruit, maple syrup, a little fresh orange
some
juice.
Nuts.
Oh, my God, some walnuts.
Yeah.
They are delicious. And I don't like to microwave them.
I'm going to have to try that recipe with a jazz apple.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And it takes in a microwave. It doesn't ruin it.
Wow.
It takes 6 minutes, 7 minutes. It's so good. So
I'm going to have to give that a shot.
You mix the orange juice fresh with maple syrup and then a little dried fruit, anything you want, apricot.
Yeah, sure.
Anything you want. And just stuff it all in there, little tiny bit of butter. And you have no idea how delicious.
Yum. Do you leave the bottom so that it doesn't fall out?
Yeah. You have to leave the bottom. Yeah. I take the top, make a little. And they are good.
Very good.
And you had a pork recipe that we have that I also, if I do loin of pork, I do a lot of apples,
sort of an apple chutney is what I like to make.
Yeah, but is it called JAZZ Apples, right?
That's right, like the music.
And you can get them anywhere.
You can get them just about anywhere, and it's growing every day. We are
going to try them.
Whole Foods, Costco, Safeways, King Supers, Fairways. I mean, you name it. We're in all the markets, so Trader Joe's. So, next, I think the key is, like I said, we've been so hell-bent on buying a Honeycrisp or a Pink Lady that... Because, we've fallen victim to them.
And they market it.
And they market them really well. So, it's just when you see this plethora of apples at the store, there's 20 different flavors.
Yeah, you don't know.
You don't know. So you're just going to go back and you're going to buy the same one every time. And I'm here to encourage you to try something different because there is a better apple. It's more crisp.
We love.
Incredibly tangy and sweet. Really thin skin. Lasts a very long time. Great for both raw and cooking applications. So as a chef, it's really important for me to have a well-rounded and versatile apple. And this is it. It nails every point that I need. I don't have to buy three different apples to create an apple pie, serve one on a fruit platter, or make a chutney. I buy one apple, and it's able to do all those things.
It's delicious with cheese.
That's right.
Really good.
Absolutely.
And it's good for what you do on a yacht, because unlike a lot of other fruit,
it doesn't perish.
Exactly. You have a long shelf life with them, and people love them.
Refrigerated? That thing's going to last for a month and a half.
Apple martini?
Yeah.
Very tasty.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. We've got an apple martini recipe on jazzapples.com as well.
I'm excited. Yeah. So, Adam, tell me, you're a television star now. You're the king of the apple world. What is it you want to do that you haven't done? Do you want to work in a restaurant? You want to do what?
I've got a few things on my horizon that I would really like to accomplish. First and foremost, I recently acquired a beautiful little dog in my life.
And, what kind of doggy?
He's a blue heeler. His name's Tex. I found him in Texas on my way through the country on my road trip.
He was deserted?
He was deserted. No collar. Middle of nowhere.
Oh, my gosh.
And, I picked him up, and he changed my life. I didn't know it at the time, and this was only a couple months ago, but I've learned very quickly how selfish I've been, and it's really incredible how you don't have to have a child to realize that it's important to take care of someone else.
Exactly.
And take care of something
else.
It's a
good life lesson.
It's a great life lesson, and it's something that I needed at 33, 34 years old. I had to say, it's time to care about something other than my cell phone and car payment. So, I got to move on. I've got to create something.
And the dog
really helped me realize that. So,
and a lot cheaper than a wife.
And a lot cheaper than a wife. Nailed it. I didn't want to say that, but you took the words out of my mouth. So, moving forward, it's very important to me now to provide him a fence. So it's time. It's time to buy land. It's time to
find a
fence.
Home.
find a home. These are all things that I've been procrastinating on, and probably for the best, but it's getting closer to that time where...
I like that. Does he come on the yacht with you?
He does not. We're gonna try and work that one out, though. I'm going to try and send his little cute little butt out to the Mediterranean.
Okay, it sounds great. And you can watch Adam, the Below Deck franchise, and see what he's cooking, and maybe among all the guests, no wife material.
You know, I keep my ear to the ground and my eyes peeled, you know, waiting for the right one to cross my path.
Okay, well, good luck in everything. Apples on. And now I'm going to go buy Jazz apples. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure speaking with you.